Now, just to hone in on this a little bit more, I mean, there are two groups that have really tried to demonstrate a benefit for adjuvant chemotherapy for the regular risk stage 2 patients. One is the group that recently presented the QUASAR trial. This is a European study in which a very large number of patients, I think something like 3,500 or something on that order, patients with stage 2 disease were randomized to surgery or to one form or another of 5-FU and leucovorin therapy. And when you look at 5-year survival there, you do see a benefit for the patients who received adjuvant chemotherapy. The problem with that trial is that even if you believe the results, these patients were offered 5 different chemotherapy regimens, so you don't know which one of these regimens may have been effective. The other problem was that in patients who were, quote, not thought to have necessarily indication for chemotherapy, mixed in with these stage 2 patients were 8% of patients who had stage 3 disease. And we never really saw the breakdown in their presentation for just the stage 2 patients. We saw the patients who had an uncertain indication for chemotherapy. But those 8% of patients with stage 3 disease could have easily accounted for this 2-3% difference that was seen for the group as a whole. The other problem was that in that study, patients received radiation therapy in a non-randomized fashion. So in my mind, the QUASAR study is hopelessly confounded. The other group that has tried to demonstrate a benefit for stage 2 disease is the NSABP group. And they have now done a series of wonderful trials where they have looked at very specific questions. But a few years ago, they published a meta-analysis looking at their various trials. And there, they did a very interesting thing. It wasn't really looking at no surgery versus chemotherapy, but what they did was they tried to look at one group that had inferior treatment versus the group that got superior treatment and try to demonstrate a difference between the two. And when you look at that data, you see that there really were two trials that did demonstrate a benefit or had a questionable benefit for stage 2 disease. In one study, very interestingly, there was a overall survival benefit for the stage 2 patients. But then when you look, there was no disease-free survival benefit for those stage 2 patients. So in my mind, that nullifies that particular study. And then in the other study, there was both a disease-free survival advantage and overall survival for the stage 2 patients, but there was no benefit for the stage 3 patients. And again, that makes me question the results. So I think that even though they've done a nice job of trying to combine all of their studies, I think there are too many problems with that meta-analysis really to conclude that there is a benefit for the stage 2 patients. But clearly, if along those lines, I wouldn't be surprised, for instance, if they then continued looking at better and worse therapy. You could also add the MOSAIC study, where again, you're looking at patients who received inferior therapy versus superior therapy. To a certain degree, I think that there probably is a small benefit. There probably is about a 2% benefit. And I wish that the MOSAIC study had been broken down into two groups. For the stage 3 patients, if it had randomized patients between the Degramont regimen and FOLFOX, but for the stage 2 patients, it would have been great if it had been FOLFOX versus surgery alone. Particularly since the Europeans, or many of the Europeans, had stated publicly that they believed that surgery by itself for stage 2 was still the standard of care. So one could have really done this in Europe. One really could have done surgery versus FOLFOX for stage 2.
In breast cancer, we've kind of come up with this concept that took a while to sort of figure out of sort of a relative risk reduction. And they kind of almost completely gotten away from even looking at nodal status. They just look at whatever they can to try to estimate what the risk is and apply a relative figure to it. And of course, there's a lot more data there than in colorectal cancer. Do you think that theoretically that should apply in colorectal cancer?
So what you may be referring to is the data by Gill and colleagues, where they've actually broken down many of these randomized studies and looked at T stage and N stage. And in my mind, that's probably the most provocative data, where actually in that data set, there does seem to be a disease-free survival advantage for patients with stage 2 disease, the T3N0s. But taking this to a larger scope, as you point out, looking at many other factors, it probably should be where we should be heading. The problem is that a lot of the data that we have is retrospective data, looking at microsatellite instability and 18Q and DCC. All of these are retrospective studies. And I think although we're beginning now to do the prospective studies, that's really what we need. And the breast cancer docs have had the numbers to do these studies and to validate these. So I think that's what it really requires before we can move to that model.